Chaz Palminteri.
Yes.
Now you can't leave.
I see what you did there.
Good morning. Thank you for coming on. Actor, performer, restaurateur, and writer of one of the greatest movies ever made, A Bronx Tale. Now it's a one-man show. Well, it was started as a one-man show.
Yeah.
But it's coming to...
It was a one-man show first.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Waterbury Palace this weekend. We're linked up on the radio station website Friday and Saturday, 8 p.m. shows. So... let's start with how this all started. You go out to L.A., you want to be an actor, you're a bouncer at a club.
Yeah, well, I was an actor in New York. I did, in fact, I actually had a Broadway credit in New York, but I wanted to be in film. So I went out to L.A. and I said, all right, I'll try my luck here because I wanted to do movies and film, and I was just doing theater in New York. And boom, a few things happened to me right away. I got on Hill Street Blues, a show called Dallas, a show called Madillac. I was guest starring.
Wow. Oh, wow. Girls. All big shows.
And all good shows. And then after about a year and a half, I ran out of the money that I made on those shows. And I was trying to break it to film, and it wasn't happening. So then finally, I started running out of money, so I got a job as a doorman. I used to bounce in New York, and I got a job there. And one night, I didn't let this guy in, to make a long story short. And the guy said, I'm going to be fired for not letting him in because he was very rude to me. And the guy was Swifty Lazar. He was the biggest agent in the world, and he got me fired. I went
was he
home,
with William Morris?
He was with William Morris.
Oh,
right.
Wow. Boy, oh, boy.
I sat on the edge of my bed. And I said, what am I going to do? I saw my father's car. The saddest thing in life is wasted talent. It was a card my father gave me. And I said, well, if they won't give me a great part, I'll write one myself.
So I started writing about this killing
that I saw when I was 9 years old on my stoop. And I wrote a 5-minute piece of just the killing, like the monologue for that. And I did that at my theater workshop on Monday, and people loved it. So each week I would write 10 minutes, 5 minutes, and at the end of almost a year, I had 90 minutes of a one-man show that I got money to produce, and bam, I put that up, and my life just exploded. It was the hottest property in the world since Rocky.
Wow.
And my life just went, people were going crazy. You know, they just loved it.
This one-man show was getting all kinds of buzz, and then a famous person shows up.
Yeah, well, Pacino came, Nicholson came, they all came to see it, but they wanted to play Sonny, and the studio heads all came, but they wanted my property, but they didn't want me. They said, look, you know, you're a terrific actor, but no one knows you. You know, I'm sorry, we can't make the movie with you. And I said, look, I play Sonny and I write it. And they said, no, they offered me $1,250. I said, no. Then they offered me $500,000. Again, I said, no. I had $200 in the bank. And then they offered me $1 million. And I said, no.
How old were you when they offered $1 million?
When they offered $1 million, I was 39.
No. And basically broke, and they offer you $1 million, and you say no. Wow.
You're committed.
That's correct.
Yep.
That's balls.
Yeah.
My hand to God, that's the truth.
Yeah.
They offered me $1 million, and I said no. And then finally, after I turned down the million, 2 weeks later, I get off the stage, and the guy says, hey, Robert De Niro just ran in your dressing room after the show. He wants to talk to you. And I said, Robert De Niro. I said, all right. I walk in my dressing room, and there was Bob De Niro, and he said, man, that's the greatest one-man show I ever saw. He goes, you did a movie on stage. He goes, I never seen that before. And I said, yeah, you know, I had this idea. And he said, look, I know what's going on in Hollywood. He goes, I'll tell you what I want to do. He says, I think you'd be great as Sonny, and I think you should write it because it's your life. He goes, I'll play your father, and I'll direct it. And if you shake my hand, that's the way it'll be.
Nice.
I shook his hand, and the rest
right
of the
there.
Season.
Done oh, deal.
That's awesome. I got chills.
Shake my hand.
Yep.
And that's the way it'll be. That's
yep.
just right out of
that's
a
so
Bob
De Niro.
Movie.
Yep.
Ugh.
Yeah. That's what he said.
And the way
it would have been
line.
Funny if you looked at him and said, Are you talking to me?
You're talking to me? Right. You're good, you.
And maybe not.
You're good. You have a gift. Mm.
Wasn't that his directing debut?
Yes.
You were taking a gamble, too, then.
Yeah.
Well, you know, agents and people were saying that, you know, we never, because a lot of big directors wanted to do it. Big-time name directors wanted to do it. But they wouldn't guarantee me the role, you know, as you see. But, you know, I said to myself, look, this is Robert De Niro. He did a bunch of movies with Marty Scorsese. He has to know something about directing.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah, he's got
learn,
some pulse. You know, something.
Exactly, right.
Yeah, and my instinct was right because he was just great. He was just a great director, and it worked out really great for us.
That's
really
part of the excitement or enticement about that, right? Because Robert De Niro told you that it would be you and him and these movie. Because when you get a movie studio involved and producers, they make the they tell you everything you want to hear, and then as the process is going, then they change things on you. And you knew with him, that's you were comfortable that it wasn't going to change.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and I worked with him through the whole movie. It was very collaborative. And it was just him and I, you know. He kept everybody away from me. Nobody bothered me.
Really?
No studio head bothered me. And it was, and you know what, I really think, guys, that's why the movie came out so great, because he made it, you know, he made the decision, but we always collaborated. And, you know, the studio couldn't touch it. They didn't piss on it. Excuse my French there, but
that's
what they usually do, you know. They're always like, they always got to put their hands on it, you know, and they mess it up most of the time.
They want to feel like they're earning their money.
Yeah, just sit back. You're earning money.
Yeah, let it go. Yeah. Let the artist be the artist.
Right, take a chill.
So you felt that when you're watching Robert De Niro act and then get behind the camera and all, what were you thinking? Were you thinking, wow, this guy is really, really good at doing this, and this is the first time he's doing it?
Well, you know, I knew he'd be great because we talked about how he saw the movie, and he grew up very similar to me, and a lot of the things in what I wrote was similar to his life. So I knew he would be great because he knew these guys, you know, and he's a brilliant artist, you know, and I knew that, and I just felt confident, and I knew if we just stayed within ourselves and let the script be the way it was, it would be fine. And he was that way, man. You know, I was blessed. I was totally blessed. Really, I really was.
Well, you also made your own luck by saying no to $1 million.
Yeah, you took
not
a chance.
Everyone, you know.
Yes.
So, Chaz Palminteri's on the Bronx Tale one-man show coming to the Palace Theater in Waterbury Friday and Saturday.
Right.
We're linked up.
Exactly. And in the show that I did for Robert De Niro, I do it exactly. That's exactly the same show that I'm going to do right here in Waterbury.
I'm thinking by now you remember everything, but isn't it?
No line.
In the beginning, Chaz, was it frightening to go out on stage and you're the only person standing there for 90 minutes and you have to remember?
No.
It's confidence.
I rehearsed very hard. I rehearsed so hard and I worked so hard on this. Look, it's like anything else in life, you know. You put the work in, you know, hard work breeds confidence. And I had so much confidence in my ability to do this. Don't forget, I had to play 18 characters.
Yeah.
Sometimes five people talking at the same time, you know. So I just studied it in my mind. I had this idea. And it just worked. I did it like a movie, like clapping my hands like film cuts. I'm telling you guys, it was an absolute phenomenon when I did it. Every writer, director, studio head was coming to this theater to see this.
I don't know how.
It was like insane.
I don't know how any movie executive would see your one-man show and see you flip back and forth from like a 9-year-old kid crying to his father into the part of the father in that exchange back and forth and not think, this is a brilliant actor. He can pull off whatever part we give him.
Or the biker brawl scene. That must be tough to do.
No, they were very complimentary about my acting. They said, look, you're a great actor. I know I had a Broadway credit and everything.
Nice.
He said, but no one knows you.
Oh.
You're not.
It was the name.
You see what I'm saying? That's the That's the problem. You know, you see, Pacino wanted to do it. Nicholson wanted to do it. Burt Reynolds wanted to do it.
Burt Reynolds?
At that time, Ray Sharkey wanted to do it. Yeah, all these people
wanted
to play Sonny.
I can't picture that. No.
Yeah.
You know, Ray Liotta to me in Goodfellas, like he was unknown. When I saw Goodfellas, I didn't know who he was.
No idea. He was in like Wild Things or whatever.
A couple of small things.
Yeah, small stuff.
Yeah, but here's the caveat with that. Robert De Niro was in it, you see.
Yeah.
So Robert De Niro was in it. Joe Pesci was in it. All these other people were in it. So they were able to offset the unknown, just like Robert De Niro was able to offset me.
Right.
Yep.
You see.
He was so good in that part.
Right.
So,
yeah.
That movie was cast brilliantly.
And we were the only actors, you know.
Right. The kids were all kids. They weren't actors.
No.
No, not only the kids, the grown-ups, except for Joe Pesci. Everybody else was a street guy.
Like Eddie Mush?
Now, I knew Mush was Mush. Yeah. Mush plays Mush.
That was Eddie Mush.
Yeah.
That was Eddie Mush in the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it was insane.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
You two guys are the only actors in the entire movie.
And very emotional.
me too, and Joe Pesci, the three of us.
Yeah,
that's it.
Joe Pesci.
Yeah, who was in the beginning and the end.
Right.
Wow. Yes. Not really at the beginning.
Everybody else was, we just wanted guys from the street. Now, it's great to do that, but the problem is you have to, you know, really cast for like 6 months and really go through a lot of people to find the right people that could do this.
Yeah.
But it was fun to have these guys. I mean, it was a lot of fun. So they're just great.
You can watch that movie 100 years from now, and it will still be just better. It'll be even better than when it came out.
It's
a beautiful tribute, a time capsule to life in the Bronx, and you covered the whole spectrum. The mob angle, the Italian working class family, and what it was like being black
and coffee
at that time in the Bronx.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, and the studio wanted to take that out. They said, you don't need the thing with the black girl, you know, and see what I mean? And then they said, it's staying in, it's staying in, and that's it. And that was it.
Yeah. Great movie.
And that was it. It was great. Thank
when you,
you
saw that person.
I'm really excited. I'm excited to do it at the show. Because I got to tell you, people who've seen the movie and have seen the musical have said that they like the one-man show the best. It's the only time ever that a one-man show has gone from a play to a movie to a musical. And the same guy has written it and starred in it. Each one.
So it's incredible.
It's pretty amazing.
Did you ever thank that guy at William Morris for getting you fired?
Yeah, really.
Putting you down this path?
You know what? It was Swifty Lazar, and he passed away shortly right after that. So I never did hear
him. Now, something happened to him?
Where were you when he passed away?
Something happened to him. He had an accident.
Yeah, he had an accident.
Yeah.
No.
I'm just kidding. Fell on stairs 14 times.
This is a big deal to come to Waterbury. This is an iconic American actor, writer, producer, and it's a brilliant one-man show
that, like you said,
went through the whole course of every stage of everything this story can be. And here it is in Waterbury, Friday and Saturday night. Chaz, thank you for coming on. It's an honor to have you.
It is.
Well, thank you so much, guys. I greatly appreciate you. I love your show. You get stand-up, guys.
Thank you
very much.
What I'd like to do, because I've seen your podcast, by the way, and if you should follow this podcast. It's great. I've been watching it. You need me to come out there for your podcast and interview you soup to nuts from the beginning of your life to this whole journey and then you could section it off into like 30-minute pieces and release it. And I wouldn't be on camera. I'd be off. I'd be like that nerd that you have that kind of fact checks you. We have one of them here.
Yeah, we call him Phil.
Yep. But I could do it off camera, and it would be you answering questions.
I'd rather have you on camera. On camera.
Yeah,
I don't know. Hold that thought.
But think about that. Yeah. I'll come out and do it in a second.
Okay, I will. I will. Okay. Absolutely. Thank you.
And by the way, I read that your 30th anniversary is coming up, so.
Yes, it is. My 30th anniversary.
Better start thinking about
what
you're going to get her.
Listen, if you're from the city, I have two restaurants, Chaz Palminteri's in Manhattan, 30 West 46th Street, and Chaz Palminteri's in White Plains, New York.
Nice.
You got my contact, please. I want to buy you guys dinner anytime.
I got to tell you, you asked me to come by once, and you said you'd be there, and you said, come by and say hello. And I thought, how many times does this guy have to say hello to somebody? I didn't want to bother you.
Yeah.
But I thank you for that.
Yeah.
I'm going to take you up on it this time.
Yeah.
Please, I don't say it to people if I don't mean it, guys. I really don't.
I'm going to do it then.
Wait a minute. Have you guys seen the show? You've seen the one-man show.
I'm coming Saturday with Jennifer.
Okay. When you come, make sure you come backstage and say hi, okay?
All right. I feel like I'm imposing, but I'm going to do that because you invited me.
Please, you're not imposing. Please do it. Please come by and say hi. Thank you.
Okay, I will. Thank you, Chaz. We'll see you Saturday.
All right. See you
Bye.
Saturday. Bye.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.